You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you. Welcome into another edition of the KLEM Coach's Corner right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. This Coach's Corner program every Saturday brought to you by Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Chapman Overhead Door, and Nohava Construction. Boy, what a day of football it was last night, week six of the high school football season. Half of our games were able to play on schedule and play all the way through, and half of the games in Plymouth County, they got started about 8:30 last night. Let's run down some of the scores for you. Fifth-ranked Remsen St. Mary's, they celebrate homecoming with their 19th consecutive win, a 47-6 win over Arweva. It was Akron Westfield claiming lion's share of the district title right now, 35-34 over MMCRU. They can seal the district championship with a win next week. Our contest that you're going to hear more from Coach Schindler coming up in just a bit. Galen Catholic defeated Sibley Ocheden 21-20 in a nail-biter. In Class A, District 8, third-ranked Woodbury Central takes back the Brown Jug, 43-0 victory over Kingsley Pearson River Valley. In Class 1A, District 1, Hinton shut out MVAOCOU 44-0. Going to be able to hear from Adrian Harderson about that contest coming up here on this Coach's Corner program. And finally, in Class 4A District 1, it was the Lamar's Community Bulldogs, 56-7 winners over Sioux City West, getting started an hour and a half later than originally anticipated, but still able to get that game in. We're going to hear from Coach Ken Vigdahl coming up on the Coach's Corner program as well. Glad we got the games in. Glad we have a few coaches to talk to. So let's get doing that. We'll have Ken Vigdahl joining us first. Jeremy Schindler will follow. And then Hinton head coach Kadrian Harderson is all coming up right here on the Coach's Corner here on KLEM.
Specializing in EPS buildings and homes, new construction and remodeling, Sitzman Construction has been doing business in the Lamar's area for 15 years. They're your area expert in EPS solid core shops and homes. Jeremy and his crew would love to come out and give you a quote on your post-frame agricultural building, new home construction, or even your home remodeling project. At Sitzman Construction, quality and customer satisfaction are the focus on the job. Call Jeremy today at 546-4263 and start building with the best. Because at Sitzman Construction, they satisfy your construction needs.
Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Michael K. Rulin about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. It's a personalized, flexible, step-by-step approach toward financial balance. Call Michael K. Rulin, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner, Ross Rulin, Associate Financial Advisor, or Sam Van Wettering, Associate Financial Advisor at 546-9525. Office is located at 129 Central Avenue, Southwest Lamar's, Iowa. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner. It is right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. Pleased to be joined now by the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, Coach Ken Vigdahl. It may have taken an hour and a half lightning delay before kickoff was supposed to happen, but the Bulldogs were still winners on homecoming last night by the final score of 56-7 over Sioux City West. Now 2-0 in the district and 5-1 overall. And Coach, my goodness, a big score, big win. First, I guess let's talk about how tough it was to adjust from, all right, we're going to kick off at 7 o'clock, we're building all day for it, and now we have to wait an hour and a half.
Yeah, and it was, that small storm or whatever you want to call it, that lightning storm, I should say, kind of rolled through like right at, yeah, 10-7, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like everybody's like, hey, we know we're going to back it up. We're in the locker room. We're ready. We've done our final preparations, and we're ready to go on the field and kind of, build the energy and get ready to go. And then it starts lightning and stuff. But I'll tell you, our kids handled it really well. We did some things. We brought them back into the school. We were able to the whole thing about lightning delays is, it's not, hey, we're going to start right at 7:30.
Right.
It's 30 minutes after the last lightning strike. And so that started out at 7:20, then it went to 7:40, yep.
Yep.
But I thought our kids did a great job of handling it. We brought them into school for a while to get them out of the locker room. outside. And then, about 8, I get a call about 8 o'clock, says, hey, by 8:20, I think we're going to be able to roll. And so, you got to refocus. We put our shoes on. We went back outside. We did kind of our mental training that we do before each game to get us prepared. And really it settled us back down and focused on the game. And, we just came out with a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, which they had really built at 7, and now at 8:30 you're doing it again. But, they went from, kids are kids. They went from, doing whatever they're doing, and all of a sudden within 4 or 5 minutes, hey, they've got their energy back and ready to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever you did in that hour and a half, I'd say – keep that in the back of your mind for the next Lightning delay, because my goodness, Coach, you definitely came out with energy. You go up 35-0 in the first quarter. Just, what was it about? The offense, the success you guys were having. What was the key to getting such a huge lead to start the game?
Well, and I think we came out with a lot of energy. They might not came out with that same kind of match, or of energy. And, the first play of the game really kind of set the tone for our offense, even though we didn't get a real super clean snap and ended up on the ground. And Giovanni just stayed on his tracks and picked the ball up, and he was able to go, 45, 50 yards for a touchdown. And then that just kind of snowballed on him, and we were able to gain some, defense. Really, I don't know when they got their first down, maybe late in the second quarter or something like that. So they're punting deep in their end zone. We won the field position battle all night long. We started either on the 50 or just, shy of the 50 every time. And, they had a bad snap over the punter's head, and there's 7. And, we ran our counter game a little bit, and we had a big pass. We just mixed it up a lot, and it was just one of those things that, sometimes you're in games where everything goes wrong. Well, we were in a game where everything went right for us.
Yeah, and that was great to see. I mean, especially after a kind of dogfight, a struggle last week, nice to have a very convincing win for you. And I look up and down, the scores that I was able to see from the first quarter, it looked like it was a lot of running attack. Like you said, you did mix it up a little bit, but it looked like early on your first 3 scores, it looks like you kind of wanted to establish the run pretty good last night.
Yeah, we really put it on our offensive line to really establish the offense and really be able to run the ball and take over the game. And I think when you do that and your offensive line is able to do what ours did last night, it just kind of defeats the whole team when people know that you can just line up and run inside zone and counter an ISO at them, and they can't really stop it. And, stopping it is not getting 4, 5, 6 yards at a pop. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We stay on schedule for us. We get 6 yards on first down. Well, second, you're at 4 now. And it opens up your playbook, and it does a lot of other things and stuff. And then just, I thought we had all 11 players really playing at a high level. When we asked our H's to block on the edge for sweeps, they were able to get the right fit. Our counter game was really good because we were able to crash the defensive tackle down and come around with either our guard and our tackle or our guard and our W and lead up into the hole. So it was just one of those things. Like I said, our kids played a really great game. Offensive line really took control of it. I think the defensive line really took control of it. And even when they had some really, their backs, I was surprised on how fast they really were. When he handed it or they ran some jet sweep with him, he could get outside, but I thought our dogs filled really well on the outside, our outside linebackers. And so, it was just one of those things. We kind of had their number most of the night.
Ken Vigdahl with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football, right here on the Coach's Corner after a 56-7 win over Sioux City West last night. I do want to talk a little bit about the defense. Like you said, they're a pretty athletic offense. I know the scoreboard and their record is not going to show it, but they do have some athleticism out there. What were the keys, the main things that you guys had to work on and executed on last night to make sure you were able to contain that for pretty much the whole game until they, picked up a touchdown late on you?
Well, I think, once again, the D-line took control of that. Yeah, when they ran their inside zone game, it maybe a yard. I mean, maybe nothing, maybe a negative 1 or 2 yards. And so that really gets you off schedule again as an offense. And so they would try to run their jet sweep, and they ran some sweeps out of their H position by pitching it and crossing, and running those outside zone plays. But, I mean, and they're back. Like I said, I was impressed with how fast he was. But you know what? We had our defensive ends spill it. They made it bounce around, and then our dogs came up and really filled, and, you know, our corners got off the receivers, and there was just no place to go. I mean, when they're running laterally down the line of scrimmage, that's exactly what you want. You know what I mean? They can't you know, go, and it's like all of a sudden now it's 1st and 10 or 1st and, you know, or 2nd and 11, and yep. It's just, yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah, fantastic job, and a shutout for the majority of the game, and ultimately with a very lopsided game. And Coach, you know, I want to ask you too, because I noticed, you were still able to pick up some scores in the second quarter once the running clock had already started for you, and then you brought your starters out in the second half, and understandably so, you want them to get their fair share of game action in. But how tough is it to keep the intensity up when you go up 35-0, and it seems like you did it without even thinking? How tough is it still to keep the intensity up, because you still need to play the final three quarters of the game?
Well, we talked about it. No matter who was out there, you know, you had to go hard. You had to be physical. And I thought our older group, of our varsity kids, really set the tone. And then, you know, even as they came off, we heard Tegan say to kids, okay, you got to keep playing hard. You got to keep playing hard. And we saw other seniors and juniors at starter like, hey, you're not going to let up. We got to go. If we're on the green, we're going hard and things like that. So, you know, I just think it's an expectation and it's a standard that we have is this is the standard, and it doesn't really matter who you are. It's the standard that we live by, and we live by as a team.
Yeah, and it's why it was such a good team win. Again, we could probably highlight individual players, but it just seems like that would take up the rest of the hour, Coach. Because I mean, when you have a game like this where you win by a lopsided margin, you get off to an early start, it really does take all 11 guys on the field to be gelling and to lead to success for you guys.
It really does, and I mean, it's one of those things that our punt return team came up big. They got a score. I know the ball was snapped over the punter's head, but, sure, you know, you still got to track it down. Mm-hmm. I thought they put enough pressure on the kicker that he really didn't get a hold of one.
Sure.
Like I said, when your defense stops them and they're punting from their end zone, I'll just say 70% of the time. I don't know if that's correct, but it's like when you're starting on the 50 or in, I mean, we talk about it all the time as wherever the field position is, your chances of scoring increase greatly.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's just kind of the law of math and the averages and things like that. So it was a great win. And Coach, I know talking to you before we started this, you kind of get to, late in the night and, kind of all the stuff's done, the game's decided, and you come out the locker room and gosh, there are still so many people in that crowd. Just, at 9:45, 10 o'clock at night, there's probably a lot better things they could be doing than sitting at a 49-0 ball game. But how appreciative are the guys of the fact that so many people still stuck it out throughout the night?
It was awesome. I mean, when I gave my speech before we left the school, I said, I don't care if there's 10 guys out there or 100 people out there, we're going to play as hard as we can. And we go out there and their student section is making noise, and there's a ton of them there, and the stands are, they're not completely full, but they're really full for a game that started, pretty close to 9 o'clock at night. And it was just awesome to see our fans stay. And, once you get there, I don't even remember what exactly the halftime score was, but, you're up by 35 or you're up by 42. I can't remember.
Sure.
And, a lot of people could have just packed it in and went home and, watched the news and stuff like that. But, we had a ton of fans stay, and it was awesome. Our kids appreciate it, because it's homecoming, and I know the homecoming dance either got postponed or whatever because of the late start and stuff. But, you know, we had a great day. We had a great parade. You know, we talked about it last week with Spencer. Their parade is three blocks long. Ours is, you know, I mean, you don't live in a community that do what we do on homecoming.
Well, definitely not. I mean, Lamar's does it so great, and the support is fantastic. And the other aspect of last night, which was cool, and this whole week of homecoming was, of course, the reunion of the 50th anniversary of the 73 state championship team. Coach, I know they were able to talk to you on Thursday. They were able to have a recognition at halftime of the game. I know they still were able to get that in, and they were able to watch you guys succeed. Just how special was it to be able to do what you did in such a dominant fashion in front of, you know, those guys who brought home Lamar's their first ever state championship?
Well, it's just one of those things that, you know, our kids are appreciative of it. I am too. You know, they wanted to come back and spend time with us, and we wanted to invite them to spend time with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they told the story of how their season, you know, went, and the ups and the downs and the sacrifices people made for the team and things like that. And it's just good for our kids to hear that. And it's, you know, it's not like they added a lot of pressure to the game, because we want to win no matter what, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But it was just awesome that, you know, they're watching, you know, if some could be their grandsons or whoever, they're watching our football team, right, as guys who have been at the pinnacle of Iowa high school football and enjoying it and watching us, you know, dominate a game and block correctly and tackle correctly and do all the right things. And so it was just awesome to see those guys on the sideline. And you know, I wish the game could have started on time. And so, you know, some of them left, and, you know, but, you know, it was just good for our kids to see those guys and them see, you know, our kids play and play hard and do what we do.
And, you know, the other part we didn't mention, see all of them play. It sounds like you were able to go all the way down the bench, and anybody with a jersey and a set of pads was able to get into the game for you.
Yeah, and that's the greatest thing of all, is when you can play a game. And homecoming's special, you know, because a lot of people come back, and a lot of grandpa and grandmas may show up to the game and things like that. And, you know, we got everybody in the game, not that they all played the same amount, of course, sure. But, you know, I think every kid that was on our sideline got to play. So, you know, that's big. That's important for them. And you know, we started early because we didn't know what the weather was going to do in the second half. So even somewhere in the middle of the second quarter, we started to put in different groups of kids to play, to make sure we could play as many kids as humanly possible.
That's awesome. And like you said, yeah, they get to play on their homecoming game and be a part of a fantastic win. So a 56-7 win. You guys are now 5-1 and 2-0 in the district right now. And well, a nice long road trip faces you guys here next week to Fort Dodge. Coach, early on, what are some things that you may know about the Dodgers, or what are the things that are going to be some keys to success in practice this week?
Well, they've had a kid, and I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was an All-State wrestler. I think he was a wrestling champion as a freshman. He played last year as an outside backer. Now, I know they've moved him to a running back, and he's the real deal. If you ever heard us the last couple of years talks about Jackson Cherry from Webster City.
Yes.
I don't know if he's in that league or not, but he's a hard-nosed kid. If you're a freshman and you win, what, like 192 weight class,
right,
or, you know, you're tough. And
yeah.
So we got to take care of him, no doubt. I think if our offense, you know, continues to grow and continues to do what we do, I think, you know, that's going to cause them some issues. We were able to get, I think we scored 35 or 40 points on them a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to keep mixing it up and get better at our positions and things like that. So it's a big game because here we are, you know, they lost to Denison.
Yep.
So they're fighting to stay in the playoff berth and district number two and so forth. We got to be ready to play. I thought we played last year really well there.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So we got to go with that same attitude. And we talked about at the end of last night is we got to do what we did last night every night from here on out. We got to play with the excitement. We got to play with the energy. And we got to be ready to go. And so that's really probably the big thing is we just when we get there, we got to get everything focused and play as hard as what we played tonight.
Absolutely. I know you will. It's going to be a fun contest. We'll have that for you for our great listeners here on KLEM Radio next week. So, Coach, we'll let you go. We'll talk to you about that contest more as we get closer. And have a great week of practice as well.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. It's Ken Vigdahl, head coach of Lamar's Community Football. We'll have Coach's Corner after this here on KLEM.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jay's gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
When you want to show appreciation for someone's generosity, kindness, or achievement, Dryco Products Incorporated can assist you with a wide selection of high-quality recognition products. Go to www.drycoproducts.com to see examples of the complete line of displays, building directories, employee tenure, wall of fame, memorials, sales performance, education, medical, faith, military, and much more. Dryco Products is your source for personalized gifts, such as Bible covers, wine glasses, picture frames. Almost anything is possible to personalize. Contact Dryco Products for more ideas. Dryco Products online, www.drycoproducts.com.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner. It's right here on KLEM Radio. Daniel Versteg with you. This Coach's Corner program brought to you by Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Chapman Overhead Door, and Nohava Construction. We are pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Galen Catholic football team. That's Coach Jeremy Schindler. We had the coverage of a barn burner of a ball game in Sibley last night, a 21-20 win for the Galen Catholic Jays. They improved to 2-2 in the district, 2-4 overall. Coach, I guess the question is now, you know, that game took a lot of your energy to call timeouts and to kind of dig around your playbook. Have you kind of recovered from that yet?
Yeah, I mean, that was those are fun games to coach in. Definitely high stress for players and for coaches, but you know, those are the fun ones. I mean, I'd much rather coach in games like that than blowouts any day, whether you're winning or losing the blowout. I mean, a blowout every once in a while is fun, but man, that really tests you as an individual, as a coach, as a team, as a player, and you really get to find out what you're made of. And you know, I'm just so proud of our guys, and it was not the perfect game.
No.
But you know, they made the plays, and they did what they needed to do, especially on that last offensive drive. And then, you know, the interception to seal the deal. So, really good effort, and we did what we had to do to win.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that ending sequence. I know that's going to, you know, we're going to kind of rehash that for quite a bit. But, Coach, I want to kind of go over the, you know, the early part of the game. You know, the first half, you pick up a couple of scores, and it was really kind of tough to watch that first drive because you go three and out. But man, you come out right away in that second drive. What had to change drive to drive there right away? Because after that, you were moving the football pretty consistently in the first half.
Well, they came out in an odd front. They were running a three front, and you know, on film, the only team they ran a three front against was Alta. Well, Alta throws the ball all over the place. So in preparation, most of the teams, even other spread teams like, you know, MMCRU and some of the other teams they play Sheldon early in the year, they were mainly a four front team. And so that's kind of what we prepared for all week was that four front. And you kind of get it in your head. There's certain plays as an offensive play caller, especially in the run game, that work better against a four front, and there's other plays that work better against an odd front. Well, we really stressed the inside zone because that was the inside and outside zone. We thought that's good against a four front. We like our matchups. We like that we get two double teams and different things like that. You know, an odd front, it's a little more, the gap schemes are a little better, like your powers, your counters. And so once we saw that, made that adjustment, the quarterback counter was a huge play for us, especially early in the game. And then even in key situations later on in the game, we were able to go to it. So that was really probably the biggest thing, was just identifying, you know, what kind of front they were running and then how to attack that front. So guys did a good job of making an adjustment on the fly.
Well, yeah, and you know, one of those adjustments, I guess this has been an adjustment here the last couple of weeks, is you've had to rely on Cole McCarty a little bit more running the football for you. Like you said, quarterback counter, it was fantastic for you. Had all, over 150 yards rushing for you last night. Just talk about how tough it has had to be to, you know, go from Kale, who was your bell cow in the first 4 weeks, to, you know, he's been kind of shored up these last two games, and Cole's now had to bear the load on the ground.
Well, one of these games, we're going to get both of them to go off,
yeah.
And that's when you're going to see the full potential of this offense. But teams are obviously really keen on Kale, especially in the linebackers. When we were seeing it on our film, you know, we on the sideline, we're sitting there and we're like, man, these linebackers they're not respecting Cole as a runner at all. And so we just kept going back to it and back to it and back to it. And then they made a little adjustment in the middle of the game, and they kind of shut us down for a couple series where they attacked the quarterback counter. And so we had to go make a little adjustment and start to go to a little more of a power blocking scheme with Kale running the ball, and that got us some yards. You know, so we were constantly adjusting, as they're constantly adjusting, and it was a nice little chess match, you know, and luckily our guys were able to execute the plays down the stretch that we needed.
Yeah, and it was, again, just a very, very well-played ball game, never more than I think the largest margin of the lead was 7 points last night. So just a fantastic ball game. Jeremy Schindler, of course, head coach of Galen Catholic football. You know, I want to. This is probably a part of the game. You know, you guys and the coaching staff know how important it was. But if you're just watching the game as an outsider, you probably didn't give this kind of sequence as much credence. The sequence at the end of the second quarter, where, you know, Sibley O'Cheedon's marching downfield, they get that score, and they go up one possession. And there's only about a minute and a half left, Coach, and I'm talking up in the booth saying, all right, Sibley's probably got a good chance to go 2-for-1 here. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you guys pull out a very quick 5-play drive that gets into the end zone, and then you come up with the interception to stop them and trying to, again, go 2-for-1. How big was that sequence? And my goodness, you guys were able to move the football so quickly on that drive.
Yeah, that's not definitely our forte, is scoring quickly. But, you know, first off, it started off with a good kick return, if I remember correctly. They kicked it to the corner and kicked it right up against the sideline, and Wyatt's able to pick it up. And it was the left sideline, and Wyatt actually, it's a return, right return. So he has to run all the way across the field. And we picked up block after block after block, and I think he gets it out to about midfield.
Right.
Which, as a play caller, then I'm sitting there, you know, that I completely changed what I was thinking about, because all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're at midfield. Let's go for this.
Yeah.
Let's attack. Let's go score. And, you know, obviously we had a couple nice running plays. And then Cole McCarty, that touchdown pass shows the growth he's made as a quarterback, as a passer. You know, he'll be the first guy to tell you that he can get better. He can continue to get better. There's lots he can work on to be better at throwing the ball. But that ball was not supposed to go to Brant Klein. That was a play that we called in timeout, and it was something that I made an adjustment, and I said, you know, instead of running a crossing route with our slot receiver, I said that the slot defender is playing inside, so let's run a seam and just run straight up the field. Well, so we sent both of those wide receivers on vert, and their corner actually came off of Brant and onto our slot receiver, Dylan Pakus, who the ball was supposed to go to. Cole saw that, recognized it, and he put the ball right on Brant, and Brant made a nice catch, and you know, we're in for the score. So that really shows Cole's maturity and how much growth he's he's made this year as a quarterback. And it also shows Brant Klein stepping up when the opportunity arises for him, because, boy, he had a whale of a game.
Yeah, I want to talk about him, too, because, you know, we talk, you know, before the game, try and get a little, you know, pick your brain a little bit right before the game starts, and you come up and talk to us and say, man, you know, Landon's sick. He's sicker than a dog. And so we're going to have Brant Klein play defense, kind of take his spot. And my goodness, Coach, touchdown reception, two interceptions. What more can you ask from a guy than to step up and probably be the guy for you last night?
Well, I mean, it's getting to be kind of, too common of a phrase, but we the next man up, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been just bitten by non-football injuries, football injuries, illnesses, and it's like, man, can we ever just have our full team healthy and able to go, you know, but again, Brant, you know, seized the opportunity. The pick in the first, at the end of the first half, was huge because they were driving down.
Right.
That was a big play. The touchdown reception was a huge play. But that interception at the end of the game, that is exactly how we coach it. And it's something that Coach Ellenzone preaches and preaches and preaches. And we didn't do it very often this game. But we always tell them, when the ball's in the air, it's ours.
Yeah.
Go get it. And to be honest, that kid grabbed it first, but Brant ripped it out of his hand. And that was an example of him finishing through the play. They're both up in the air, and that kid catches the ball. And Brant latches on and rips it out of his hands as they're going to the ground. It was an incredible play. Because if they both have the ball and it goes on and they're on the ground, that's a catch for the receiver.
Yep.
So great, great effort play by Brant, and just very happy for him that he was able to have such a tremendous game.
It was such a tremendous game, and you know, a tremendous game for you guys picking up the win. Jeremy Schindler, head coach of Galen Catholic football. You know, that second half, we've talked about that interception now. They get the score in the third quarter, and then the game kind of starts slowing down. You're starting to, all right, there's not a whole lot of time left. What were some of the things going through your mind as, you know, time was ticking down when you didn't have the ball, and then as you were starting to eat through the clock with the ball in the fourth quarter?
Well, when we're on defense, I'm just praying we get a stop. And then on offense, I'm just trying, what's going to work for us? And it slowed down that third quarter and early part of the fourth quarter. It really stymied us a little bit. Their defensive tackles were two big kids, and they really kind of hurt us in the run game, and they made a lot of plays. But, you know, we challenged the guys. First, before that last drive, we had a huge fourth and one stop.
Yes.
I mean, Dylan Pacus comes flying through the line, makes a hit on the kid. The kid almost bounces off, but he holds on for dear life. And then his buddies arrived, and about three or four other defenders arrive and are able to bring the kid down for a loss. That was tremendous play by the defense there. So it was excellent, and that got us the ball back, and that allowed us to really get going on that last drive. And like I told the guys after the game, you know, that's what we want to see all game from you. We know you're capable of doing that. And there was a drive in the second quarter that we did that too. Two long drives. That's the vision we have for this offense, and we can be a ball control, and eventually we'll start hitting some of those big plays, you know. But we got to just be a little more consistent in our blocking and our running. So, but that's the vision. That stop on defense, bend but don't break. Stop them on fourth down. Get the ball, and then take it down. You know, being physical, running the football, and basically finishing the game out there.
And you know, that offensive drive was so big, and is so big for you for another reason too, Coach, because you were able to really, you know, that drive early on where you were eating clock and moving down, you know, slowly and methodically, that was all running plays. That fourth quarter drive was a really good mix of run and pass. I mean, it really showed your offense's capability to be more multidimensional versus, say, you know, the Hinton or the MMCRU game, where it was just kind of, we better hope we get this first down with the running game, otherwise we're not going to move the ball.
Yeah, it was, the best way I can describe it was timely passing.
Yes.
And, you know, it was something that we saw on film, how they adjusted to their trips. And we thought we could get our third receiver in. We thought we could get him the ball on a little hook route right at 5 yards. And we called that play two or three times on that drive. And when I go back and watch the film, it actually is not as much room. I thought we'd have a little more room to get the ball in there, but Cole fit that ball in a pretty tight window because their linebackers and safety were bearing down on Chance on those couple balls that he threw. But Cole did a really good job putting the ball right on Chance, and Chance, you know, again, there's another kid who from the beginning of the season to the end of, or to right now has, in terms of his ability to catch the football, has improved by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. And you saw it last week, and you saw it again last night. But he can be a threat in the passing game, and so that was really good to see.
Yeah, and like you said, too, it was the safeties are bearing down. So I'm going to make my play fake, and I better get this ball out of here quickly because otherwise, yeah, that window is going to be shut for me.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've gone to. We're kind of a rollout. We have a bootleg type passing game, and then we also have this little quick play fake, kind of an RPO. Yep. It's not really, some of them are RPO, some of them are design play actions. Just kind of depends on how we call it. But those are really, Cole really feels comfortable throwing that. And as long as we get the right look, he's been able to deliver for the most part in those situations, and our receivers have done a good job of making plays.
They have, and it led to the big game-winning drive and picked up a win for you. You know, we didn't talk about this throughout the course of the game, but one guy I really wanted to highlight that I just thought, you know, maybe did not make a game-changing play like a Brant Klein interception or Cole's touchdown run there to take the lead. But, man, it felt like every other play we were talking about Will Harpinaugh just terrorizing a quarterback or batting a pass down. He's a guy who you told me preseason was, you know, just such a workhorse. And it was really fun to see him have all kinds of success on the line last night.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the heart and soul of our team. He's one of our captains. He's kind of the energy guy, and that you don't see that a lot from linemen, because if you're playing both sides of the ball in the line of scrimmage, you're usually dog tired.
Right.
And so he brings it every single week. He brings it every single practice, every single play. He's intense, and you know you can tell football means a lot to him. And he's put in a lot of time to be good at football, and so, you know, it's really good to see him. You know, when we use Will as an example of how you should play offense and defensive line, and how you should finish blocks, and how you should defeat blocks and make tackles and things like that. I mean, he does such a good job of that, and he's a really good leader for those younger linemen that we have.
Yeah, absolutely, and it showed last night, and it was part of the reason why you picked up a nice 21-20 win over Sibley Ocheyedan. So, Coach, now you're 2-2 in the district, and sitting pretty good, like you said, to try and take that third spot in the district race. If you can knock off South O'Brien, Hartley, Melvin, Sanborn the next couple of weeks, what is it? What are the things that have to happen these next couple of weeks in practice? Maybe right away on Monday. That kind of tells you, hey, these guys are ready to make a playoff run. They're ready to get the Jays back to some pretty meaningful football in October.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get a little healthier this week. Hopefully we get the illness bugs out of us. And you know, we got some good news on Dane Lehman. Dane Lehman might be coming back this week. We're going to see how things go. So that would be a huge boost for us, especially in the offensive and defensive lines. You know, these are going to be two challenging games, though. You know, Coach Furman at South O'Brien does a great job. They're always so well coached.
Yep.
They're always very physical in the line of scrimmage, so it's going to be a challenge next week, and it's homecoming, so we got to make sure that we we stay focused and you know, have fun with the activities during the day. But when it's practice time, we gotta bring our lunch pails and go to work and get the job done and then, you know, prepare for Friday night, because, you know, that's to us, that's got to be the most important thing, is that football game on Friday night and making sure that we pull out a win.
Well, like I've heard a few coaches say the last couple of weeks, there's no homecoming without a football game. So, yeah, very important on Friday night, and looking forward to a great deal of success for you against South O'Brien. So, Coach, we'll let you go. That was a great win last night. Happy to be happy to see you pick up a win in the win column, and best of luck to you guys as you get ready for South O'Brien this week.
Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That's Jeremy Schindler, head coach of KLN Catholic Football, on the Coach's Corner. We're back with more after this here on KLEM.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
The pursuit of true health. That's the goal of Dr. Jared Langle of True Health Chiropractic Lamars, serving the community with a holistic approach to chiropractic, guiding patients to mindful movement and proper nutrition. Accepting your insurance, True Health Chiropractic, located just off Business Highway 75 South Lamars, across from Four Brothers. Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We welcome you back to the KLEM Coach's Corner. It's right here on KLEM Radio, brought to you by Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health, the Chiropractic, Chapman Overhead Doors, and Ohava Construction. Daniel Versteg with you, now joined by the head coach of the Hinton Blackhawks, Coach Kadrian Harderson. After a dominant win last night over MVAOCOU, the Blackhawks now sit 3-0 in the district and pretty well on their way to gaining a playoff spot and still in contention for that district title. Coach, I know we were able to talk to you right before district play started, and you guys were 1-2. You were coming off a loss that night, but now you're 3-0 in the district. Just what kind of things have gone right for you guys here the last 3 weeks that's kind of put you guys in a really good spot?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, this season again with so many new faces carrying the ball or throwing the ball, catching the ball, it's really been a process of really getting it into a rhythm offensively. And it's taken a little bit of time, but I feel like, you know, the past couple weeks really kind of hit our stride and really starting to get things going in the option game, which is a big part of what we tried to do. And, you know, on a night like tonight, Maple Valley came out and they threw a 5-front at us, which we hadn't prepped for, and they haven't shown on film all year. So kind of had to adjust on the fly, and I thought the guys really did a great job of taking that in stride and, you know, making the little adjustments that we had to do and take advantage of what they were giving us.
Well, and that's, it was kind of one of those deals. It looked like they were, trying to make you do something that is maybe not in your initial interest offensively. You obviously like to run the ball. You talk about the option.
Yep.
But the fact that you can go to the passing game when need be, it's just a huge strength of your offense.
Yeah, you know, I think it's something that we're working on. It's definitely been an emphasis in practice, and it's something that we have to get better at if we want to get to where we want to get. You know, you can't be a one-dimensional football team. Every defense has a weakness, and you have to try to exploit it. And like you said, you know, we are a run-first football team. That's no secret. And teams are going to start taking that away. And Maple Valley did a great job of that, you know, throwing 8 in the box, going cover 0 and saying, we're daring you to throw the football. And I thought, you know, Gabe Anderson and our receivers, Kyle Leary and Ty Jones, you know, they took advantage of that and really loosened up the defense a little bit. We're able to keep them off balance there from the second quarter on and then kind of establish a run based off of the pass, which is something that we don't typically try to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got up early. Talk about how tough it is. Like you said, you want to run first, but then you're tasked with trying to get that run going after having to throw through the air. How tough is it to really adapt that game plan on the fly, and especially on a night like last night, where you know, it's a team you haven't maybe played in a while, and you're yeah. still trying to feel things out a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the right way to phrase it, is we were trying to feel things out, you know, an opponent that we had never played before in the history of our program of Hinton School. So, yeah, completely unknown, a place we'd never been to, going down there last night on a hot night. And, hey, there are a lot of factors here in their homecoming, and they came out ready to play and excited. And, yeah, I mean, making those adjustments, you know, that's part of the game, obviously, every week. And you know, I'm blessed to have fantastic coaches who are, you know, willing to see things and able to see things and get in my ear and tell me what needs to be done. So, yeah, and then by the same token, you know, I'm pretty blessed with some really smart football players. You know, we had a couple kids, Bodhi Benebus and Brogan Lake, come at halftime and say, hey, coach, what if we try this formation and do this little wrinkle? I'm like, I love it, boys. Let's try it. And that was a great play for us in the second half. You know, I think we ripped off 80, 90 yards with Brooks Benebus running that play. So that was really good to see. It's always a great thing as a coach. You know, you're always thinking football and you got systems. But when you have kids now who are bought in and they're starting to think the game and know the why of why this is going to work, I mean, that's really that's a cool feeling. You know, you feel like you've instilled this love of the game and this understanding into them, and now it's starting to pay off. So it was a really cool experience, really neat experience, and really fun to see.
Kadrian Harderson with us, the head coach of Hinton football, as he's joining us on the Coach's Corner this morning. You know, we could talk about your offense pretty much the entirety of the interview, obviously, with the 44-point performance. Yeah. We could talk a lot about it, but I want to see hear about the defense, Coach, because pitching a shutout, pretty tough thing to do, and, you know, something you did earlier this year, but, you know, do it now in district play. What was working defensively for you?
Yeah, you know, shutouts are always special. I thought Coach Kramer had a tremendous defensive game plan going into the night. The boys really executed it well. We knew that they were going to try to get outside on us, and so there was a big emphasis put on our defense all week that we've got to put him in the pocket. You got to keep him in the pocket. And when he does break, man, you got to have tremendous angles and work to keep that leverage. And, man, I thought Brooks Benebus and Jacob Bishop really just played their tails off at defensive end. You know, they made it tough on Maple Valley's quarterback all night. And then when they did try to run interiorly, you know, Bodhi Benebus and Brogan Lake again, man, they just had monster nights, and Carson Ludwig as well. You know, that's a three-headed linebacker monster that we are real fortunate to have. You know, I've coached a lot of seasons where the guys you put out there are the guys that you have. It is a luxury to be able to put in some different faces every once in a while and give guys blows and know you're still going to get the same quality of play. So, I was just really, really proud of the kids. They really put the game plan, you know, into play and just executed it so well. And they were rewarded with that shutout, you know. And it was great, too. At the end of the game, you get those young kids in. You get some freshmen, some sophomores out there. And, you know, they take a lot of pride in that shutout, too. And you got those varsity guys on the sideline yelling at them and coaching them up because, hey, they want to see that goose egg at the end of the game as well. So, yeah, really, again, another neat experience to see the team all come together and, hey, let's work and let's keep the zero up there.
Well, and this was something with we talked with Coach Vigdahl earlier in the show about. They had a big win. You guys get a big win. Yeah. I mean, just the fact of you know, you get the opportunity to say, hey, anybody who hasn't played, who's wearing a helmet and pads, come over by me. We're gonna get you in the game. It's just got to feel really, really special. And like you said, those guys who put in maybe a lot of hard work that doesn't get noticed on Friday nights, but is so valued Monday through Thursday during the week.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great reward for those guys. You know, when you as a coach are starting to get to that point, one, it's a great feeling, but two, you're trying to get guys in the game, you know, who are always willing to hop in on scout team or hop in and do this for you. So that's a great reward for those kids, too. You know, like you said, they don't get a lot of that glory on Friday nights. And they, you know, the young kids, they get their first taste of varsity football. And anybody who's played the game, I mean, you always remember that first game that you got in and the nerves and the excitement and how much you didn't want to let your teammates down. So, yeah, really cool experience to see them get in the game get that first taste of what Friday night's all about.
We're talking with Kadrian Hardison on the Coach's Corner, head coach of the 3-0 in district play, Hinton Blackhawk football team. You know, Coach, I don't say this as any knock on one particular team or anything like that, but I feel like in years past where the Blackhawks struggled here maybe 4 or 5 years ago or whatever, it kind of felt like maybe Hinton was kind of getting away from what had worked for years, and that could have been, like you said, kind of the hand that was dealt for that particular sure. team. But to hear you guys go sure. back to running the football, and then you talk about just some physical defensive linemen and physical as heck linebackers, you're putting some power guys out there. Just how good is it to kind of get back to the bread and butter of what Hinton football has been known for and strong for so many years?
Yeah, absolutely. It does feel good to get back to your roots, you know. As a kid growing up here, I mean, Coach Held and Coach Dietrich, that was always preached into us. Mm-hmm. We might not be the biggest or most athletic team, but we dang sure are going to be the toughest team out here, the most physical team. And that's been really great to get back to that, yeah. you know. Part of that is the luxury of, you know, you got a lot of kids. You got a lot of players. And so nothing is handed to them. So if they want to get on the field, man, they have to be physical and they have to be tough and they have to prove that, hey, I'm the best man for this job. So it just naturally creates a lot of urgency, you know, when you have that luxury of being a little more deep than you've been in years past. So that's the big thing. And yeah, you know, I'm an old school football coach. I want to run play great defense. And in this day and age, you know, that a lot of teams, you know, they run some really good schemes, but a lot of teams like to play basketball on grass, and that's just not who we are, you know. And the kids have really responded to that really well. Like, yeah, you know what? You want to get out and spread? Well, we want to hit you in the mouth. So that's a testament to them and their mentality and the hard work that they put in the offseason and in practice all week, yeah.
Yeah, it's great that I was able to show on the football field for you and show in a big 44-0 win over MVAOCOU. So, Coach, you guys shoot at 3-0. Yeah, I mean, there's no way you miss the playoffs now. So that's kind of a shoo-in. But that's definitely not your ultimate goal. There's still a district
right.
title on the line. There's still
right.
big home yep. games to finish the regular season. What's it going to yep. take to continue this momentum? To finish strong and get to that next goal of maybe being a district champion this year.
Yeah, you know, that was a huge goal going into the night. We knew if we win, we secure a playoff berth, and that's huge. You know, a massive goal for the senior class, and now you just mark that one off the list, and now you move on to the next one. Like you said, now you're fighting for a district title, something that hasn't been done around here for quite some time. And if you can take care of business, you know, now you're looking at home playoff games. And if you really take care of business, multiple home playoff games. So it's just, you know, the next rung on the ladder. Mm-hmm. And for us, going into this week, you know, you're playing an OABCIG team that just had a heck of a night last night against West Sioux. So that's going to be a tough opponent. It's going to be a new challenge. It's going to be a team that likes to spread you out and make you defend sideline to sideline. And that's going to be something different. And on the defensive side of the ball, you know, you're going to get a team that likes to blitz a lot more than we've okay. seen in weeks past. So, you know, every week is the same. It's different. So we just have to find a way to come to work on Monday ready to get after it. You can't be complacent. You can't be happy with where you're at. You have to continually want to improve and focus on what's in front of you and be where your feet are and see where you can get, see how good you can be.
Yeah, and I think you guys can be very good. I know you have been good so far this year. We hope it continues, and we hope a lot more wins down the pipeline for the Blackhawks. Coach, we'll let you go. Congrats on the win last night, and best of luck as you get ready for the Falcons.
Hey, thank you, Daniel. Appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
That's it's Kadrian Hardison, the head coach of Hinton football, on the Coach's Corner. Back with more after this on KLEM.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And we welcome you back to this edition of the Coach's Corner on KLEM Radio, brought to you every Saturday by Sitzman Construction, Ameriprise Financial, Get Branded 360, Plymouth Awards and Engraving, Floyd Valley Healthcare, True Health Chiropractic, Chapman Overhead Doors, as well as Nohava Construction. Our thanks to our three coaches for joining us. Ken Big Doll, Lamar's Community Head Football Coach, Jeremy Schindler, Head Coach of the Galen Catholic Jays, and then, of course, Hinton Community Head Football Coach, Kadrian Harderson, talking about their teams, talking about three big wins. We love when we're just talking about wins in the Coach's Corner, and we were able to do that right here on KLEM Radio this morning. Coming up this week on KLEM Sports, we've got a pair of volleyball games and a football game for you. Coming up Tuesday night, Lamar's Community Volleyball continues MRAC play with a contest at Sioux City North. We'll have that for you right here on KLEM. Coming up Thursday night, it'll be Galen Catholic War Eagle Conference Volleyball. They welcome in the Royals of MMCRU, and those will both get started around 7 o'clock, barring any JV and freshman shenanigans before then. And coming up Friday night on KLEM Radio, we're going to make the long trek out to Fort Dodge, so you don't have to. Lamar's Community Football taking on the Dodgers of Fort Dodge, 2-0 district mark to start the year for the Bulldogs. They're going to put that on the line against Fort Dodge in Week 7. That'll be a 7 o'clock kick from Dodger Stadium. Pregame will start at 6:15. You can watch it as well on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. Looking forward to that coming up on Friday night. So a busy week of KLEM Sports, just the way we like it. Of course, Galen Catholic has homecoming next week, so we'll have all kinds of programming dedicated to that as well. But that'll do it for this edition of the Coach's Corner. Thanks so much for tuning in. Enjoy some college football if you get the opportunity to today. For all of us at KLEM Radio, KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Versteg. Have a great rest of your Saturday.